Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
We have been on our series, 48 Days to the Work You Love, and we've had, the first sermon was about his work. I just got back from China and I was asking if you're committed to his work. Then, if you are, how much time are you going to give him? And then today, we're going to talk about your talent, or what does God invest in you so that you can invest in other people? 1 Peter 4:10, bring you greetings, by the way, in the upper venue, bring greetings right here, greetings watching by line, online. We're going to be reading out of the Amplified Bible, and if you do not have one, you will really need to take advantage of the screens to follow along. Verse 8. Above all,
devils. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
It certainly wasn't an angel that did it. Above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sin, forgives and disregards the offense of others. Practice hospitality one to another, those of the household of faith. Now, I'm going to be contextualizing that statement in just a minute, that this is the attitude or the behavior pattern that we should have toward one another when we hear what's coming behind it, because this is the attitude that God has toward us, that when you had your worst day, God was still covering your sin. When you didn't keep your covenant or promise, he was still there for you. And only when I look to Jesus and how he's a covenant keeper, covenant maker, do I realize when I stood at the altar, I had to be lying. When I said, you know, for better or for worse, because what I really was saying is, as long as you treat me right, I'm going to treat you right. As long as you don't do the worst stuff, I'm going to stay in this. But if you cross certain lines, you can't expect me to just keep loving you through that. Now y'all should be saying amen, because some of y'all lied too. Now you grow to the point where this is going to be your commitment is going to match up with your confession. But love has this ability to see everything wrong about a person and still say, I'm in it. I'm in it with you. Man, praise God. How y'all doing out there? Yeah, stay in your marriage. I'm going to move on and see if it get better, but I will come back to this subject. Just tap somebody and say, you better say amen. All right, let's keep going. Verse 10. As each of you has received a gift, here's what we're going to be dealing with today. A particular spiritual talent, a gracious divine endowment. Each of you has a gift, like each of us has a fingerprint. Each of us has a uniqueness and certain patterns that are not duplicated in any other person. We have a treasure in earthen vessels that God has uniquely hardwired you. Jeremiah, I ordained you before you in your mother's belly to be a prophet. There is something that God has already put on the inside of you that is your talent, that is your gift. But he can give you a gift that you can toss to the side. He can give you a gift that you don't unwrap. He can give you a gift that you take out of the box, but you don't read any of the other instructions to know how to use it to the best of your ability. A gift that he gives has a purpose. Note that this gift that he gives is not based on you being a good person. It wasn't based on if you look good or not, if you were tall or enough or not, if you were strong enough, intelligent enough. When you were a sinner, when you were in your worst condition, God gave you a gift and a calling and said, I'm not going to change my mind about who you are, even if you reject it. So no one in this room is without definition. No one in this room is without purpose. But 86% of us say we don't have purpose and we don't have focus. And how can this be when our God has invested in us a gift to help narrow your focus and help you hit the mark? He said, when you find this gift, he says, employ it. Employ it for one another as benefits God's trustees of God's many-sided grace, faithful stewards of the extremely diverse power and gifts granted to Christians by his unmerited favor. When you get a gift, work it. When you get a gift, use it. It's hard to use what you're unfamiliar with. If you're a trustee, you're a steward. A steward means that you have the gift and you are responsible to the owner to give it or dispense it in the way that you were asked and not in the way that you choose. He said that these gifts given are to be used for the benefit of others. And a lot of times, the reason that we lose focus is that the very gifts that we have are used for our own benefit as the primary focus. Ooh, I just wish I could just come off the stage and come right there and sit next to some of y'all. You are the secondary beneficiary of your gift. When your gift is working at its highest level, it is to honor God by dispensing it for the benefit of others, and then you get a blessing out of it also. He gives you, for instance, he gives you seed to sow and bread to eat. He gives you something to get wealth with. I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. I'm going to take y'all slow. Because you got to get this to change your life forever. Will change your life forever today. Whoever speaks, let him do it as one who utters oracles of God, who renders service, let him do it as one with the strength that God furnishes, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. To him be glory and dominion forever through the endless age. Amen. In other words, when we give our gifts in service to others, God gets glory and God gets honor. But if you're confused about what the gift is, if you reject the gift, it's going to be hard to do that. Now, one of the reasons I feel that people don't engage in their gifts that God has given them and employ them or work them is because they've had some hard times in life. Anybody ever had some hard times in life? Yeah, you know, everybody's hard time. And these hard times serve as an excuse for why we are not where God has ordained for us to be or destined for us to be. And we begin to tell each other our horror story. Somebody's always telling me their horror story. Well, Pastor Jane, let me tell you why it's going so bad for me and I'm broke. Because what happened was my mom, when I first grew up, and it, you know, it was so bad. Never changed it. You know, it's just, but I always tell people, before you start telling me your horror story, let me tell you mine. And if mine is worse than yours, then it disqualifies you. And then I find people with stories worse than mine. You know what? We are blessed. You know, you could be here, James Lowe, with no arms, no legs, in the same assignment. We're blessed. Everybody can have excuse why they ignore the gift, but God thought you could be a good steward of the gift. He gave it to you because you could be trusted with it, and you could fulfill his will with your gift. How many of y'all know the four things that my mama says that every child of hers has to have in order to be a functional low? Do y'all remember? A job. You got to work in our house. What else? A hustle. Yeah, a hustle. It's just for those of you who don't understand that that's not selling drugs. A trade and an education. A hustle basically is your ability to tap into your gift for the benefit of others and provide for yourself in an instant when a need arises. That means at any moment, you got to be able to get on there and get something done. Okay? So that's what it is. And nothing has changed. Do you know that God himself loves work because he came to this planet working? When God showed up, he worked 6 days straight without a break. And every day he worked, he did something magnificent. When he finished hanging the sun, the moon, and the stars, he looked at it and said, "That's a good day's work. That was a good day." He made the vegetation up. That's a good day. He made the animal. That's a good day. Work. 6 days. He set a pattern of 6 days work, 1 day rest. Now, our problem is we focus on that rest day big. And we make the rest day like this should be in every day. And we don't understand why we're not producing. Because the Bible says in all labor or all work there is profit. But mere talk leads to poverty. So why is it that God worked and he got everything he wanted to get out of work, then he rested? Boy, let your boss quote that scripture to you. You will stop trying to get him saved. Well, aren't Christians supposed to work 6 days? I thought I'd give you an extra day of work. Yeah, you would reject all that. Quick. Oh, well, that's in the Old Testament. God loves work. In fact, God, when he made, before he made the first man in, I believe, Genesis 2, 4 through 15, it says that there were shrubs and different things on the earth, and their mist came up to water the earth. But God said to himself, "I have no man." He said, "I'm not going to send the rain and let this thing get out of control because I have no man to work the ground." And if you get Genesis 2, 15, the Bible goes on to say he created man, and then he says, because he's going to go in the garden and work it and keep it. God not only worked, the first man came to the planet and he worked. And then instead of getting, you know, an extra break, God gave him an extra job. "Man, if you're doing so good with the garden, I'm going to give you some animals." "Good job, buddy. More work for you." The funny thing is, they look like they're enjoying it. You ever punch the clock? And you mad from the moment you're driving to work? "I can't believe it. Just mad. Mad all the time you're there. Mad when you leave. Can't deal with your family right when you get home because you hate your job." Adam didn't hate his job. God didn't hate his job. They like work. Work was not a curse. "Oh, Pastor James, you're not in the Bible. We got when man sinned, God cursed it." See, he cursed. He said, "By the sweat of your brow," he said, "you work all day." See, he reversed that work. And I think that that's where it gets off for us. Because let me show you what preceded that. Then in Genesis 1, I believe 26, he says, "And male and female made he them, and he blessed them, and he said, 'Be fruitful,'" or prosper. See, that word right there messes us up. Prosper. There he is. I knew he was one of them prosperity people. He liked using that word. I'm going to leave. He let him use it again. Let him. Yeah. See. So just relax. Okay, relax. Maybe we should use a new word. He says, be productive. Produce with what? The gift I gave you that's in you, use it to do work. Use it to produce. Use it to keep. Use it to grow. Use it to serve. This is what we were assigned to do. And the question is, will we do it? And my mom, again, who I like to quote in this message, made me start working at 12 years old. My wife, who's the same age as me, her mother made her work at 12 years old. She traveled the world working. So at 12 years old, my mom comes to me and she said, baby, go out there and shovel the snow, then shovel the snow of the two elderly people on our block. She said, don't charge them. But mama, they can pay. They've offered before. She said, don't charge them. And she said, then go make money after you served. And then she said, rake leaves. Then she said, cut grass. Then she said, get your wagon and go around to every house and tell them that you will take their recycling to the store, their pop-outs and everything, and you'll give them half the money and you'll keep half the money. Then she said, before school, this is 12, y'all. This is my 12th year. Then she said, yeah, that's y'all need to call somebody, you know, and report something. Go ahead. She used to say, I said, Mama, we're going to report you. She said, report me. You're just going to be locked up. So then she always had me. She said, then you're going to get a paper out. And she said, that can be a career. You know, big paper out people making a lot of money. Work. So this year is my son, James, 12th year in the world. And I have been warning him. His grandmama been warning him. So thank you guys for praying. He's in Ethiopia with my wife, and he has a job. And my kids are not in here, so I'm just going to tell you a story. It's kind of don't relate to the message, but it's too funny to leave out. So while he's gone, he goes to Jason, his 10-year-old brother, and say, hey, look, Jason, I'm supposed to take the neighbor's dog out 3 times and feed her and all that kind of stuff, but I'm going to be gone on this mission trip. Hey, do you want to make some money? I said, yeah. He said, well, how much is it worth to you to do this job for me? He said, what about $1 a day? How does that sound? James said, hey, that's I think that's wonderful. Now, mind you, he makes $25 a day. That's just called shady. Shady. Shadiness. And now, but I want y'all to feel sorry for my little 10-year-old. He's shady too. Because you know, since my son been going to Ethiopia, you know who's been working? Me. Put my picture up there. That's me. That's this week. That's this week. And several things are wrong with this picture. Can you pick him out? The dog. It's a girl dog, not a boy dog. Don't get offended. It's not what a dog a man should have. Why do I have church socks on with gym shoes? And why is the poop still in my hand? Because I'm doing what my mama told me to do. Working. See, that's all I know to do. And before you work, I don't get a check for that. serve. I can think about a plethora of things I do and I get no check for it. But it's my gift. And it's unrighteous for me to hold back my gift from the church. Pastor Paul Barker, superior teacher, teaching our school and everything. He is his ministry service. Different people in this room do tremendous. We ain't paying J. Kim for doing that camera. You know you ain't getting no check, right? He ain't getting nothing. You might get a gift card at Christmas to say thank you. You know, that's just, it's your service to the church. Work is what we're assigned to do. Now, there are 7.3 billion people on this planet. And do you know how many of those people have gone to the NBA in the last 5 years? 1,600. Your child is not going to the NBA. There are 7.3 billion people on this planet. There is one president of the United States every 4 years. Your child is not going to be president of the United States. Stop telling them that! You can be, yes, there are laws that allow them for the opportunity, but is that their gift? Is that who they're assigned to be? Or is that a lazy way of saying, you can just do anything, just pick something. One of them is bound to be what God wants. It's not the way you do it. All right. Let's use the balance of our time to turn to Matthew 25. But I want to read something to you. Just before that, let me read something to you in your hearing. This was a statement within our governing structure that I thought was real useful for this sermon series, just to hear some of the things that we were founded on. And it says this: there was a time in these United States when a candidate for public office could qualify with the electorate only by fixing his birthplace in or near the log cabin. He may have acquired a competency or even a fortune since then, but it was in the tradition that he must have been born of poor parents and made his way up the ladder by sheer ability, self-reliance, and perseverance in the face of hardship. In short, he had to be self-made. The so-called Protestant ethic then prevalent held that man was a shrewd and responsible individual, responsible to himself, his society, and his God. Anybody who could not measure up to the standard could not qualify for public office or even popular respect. One who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth might be envied, but he could not aspire to public acclaim. He had to live out his life in the seclusion of his own class. You see, what good is your gift if you can't give it? A gift given to you from God was to be used or employed for the benefit of other people. That's what your talent is. And people didn't want in the United States the gift of someone who didn't work. They wanted you to be born by a log cabin to actually prove that you were a hard worker and that you knew how to come from nothing to something. That's what it was all about. Matthew 25, verse 14. Here's what the kingdom of God is like. For it would be like a man going on a journey who calls his servants and entrusts to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to each according to his ability. Then he went away. A talent, for the purposes of this message, it is, in this context, a unit of a measurement monetarily. Some say it's 20 years worth of wage would be 1 talent. But if you go into a deeper study of the word itself, it's a special natural ability, an aptitude, a gift committed to one for the use or improvement. That you and I have been given a gift. And he gives you the power to get wealth. So even to get money, you need to use your gift. So you're first a steward of your gift even before you're a steward of your money. You're a steward of your talent. You're a steward of it. And what is a steward? A steward is a good accountant. The Bible says it must be found that a steward is faithful. A good accountant, for instance, can tell you where the money is, where the money is, what the money is for, and where it's going. Can you tell me what your gift is, who it's for, and where it's going? Are you a good steward of you? Faithful over a little, God can make you ruler over much. The Bible says a steward must be found faithful. I love Romans 12 and 3. It says this: for the grace of God given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has given him. You know what? Not everybody has the same stewardship. Not everybody has the same gift. Not everybody has the same ability. Not everybody can be like Mike. And y'all know that because ain't none of y'all made it in here to where Mike is. And guess what? It's nobody yet who has made it to where Mike is. So you might want to be like him, but it's better to say you want to be exactly what Christ has anointed and gifted you to be. The Bible says to be a good steward, the Bible says in Proverbs 22 that train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart. If you break down another way, it says train a child according to their spiritual endowment, proclivity, talent, purpose, and the way it is bent. And when they're old, they won't depart from that same spiritual endowment, proclivity, talent, purpose, and the way it is bent. So you're supposed to train children according to their purpose, their bending. So to be a good steward over a child's life, you actually have to inquire of God, who are they? So for 86% of people to go through life not knowing exactly who they are, something went wrong in the structure. And here verse 16. He who had received the five talents went at once and traded with him, and he made five talents more. This is how you already know the guy with the most amount of talents is a good steward. Because the first thing he did was work it. The first thing he did was use it. And the first thing he did was become fruitful or productive or prosperous in that which God has given him. He submitted to the system. That the gift given is to be dispensed, is to be sown, is to be utilized, is to be tapped into. And when you fully tap into your gift, one of the signs to you is you can produce. Are you productive? If you read the book, 48 Days to the Work You Love, all jobs are going away from just your educational background, and they're going to whether or not you're productive. Because you can be educated and not productive. By the way, your education is only one thing you need to be successful, and it might actually limit you, and you might sow your whole life to it. Now, this is not me saying anything is bad with education, so I want you to get that point. If you're in school, stay in school. Don't drop out. Praise God. What I'm trying to tell you is to be employed in this world that's developing, you're going to need a whole lot more than an education. You're going to need some good common sense. You're going to need some emotional intelligence. You're going to need some leadership. And you're going to have to be the number one thing that everybody's looking for in the world to come is productivity. And they will start pushing your education to the bottom of the pile and going to the guy who didn't put any of the work in that you did because he's productive. He's fruitful. Do you know 50% of the jobs that are going to be here in 5 years don't even exist? And another 50% of the jobs will become obsolete? You're living in a world that's changing, and if you don't tap into who God has made you, you'll be left behind. You can't stay stuck just where you are. I'm safe. I'm safe. I've researched my company. I'm fine. See, you're thinking wrong. You're not being a good steward of your gift. You better find out your gift. You better find out what your responsibility to God is. Because they're going to come up with a machine that can cut lawns in a minute, and then your lawn care business won't be good. They're figuring out how to do all the labor-intensive jobs. You're going to have to think. I knew it wasn't going to be kind of an amen day from just the way y'all started out. I mean, it's okay. You know, it's like you just got to deal with it. You know, as a preacher, you just got to learn to take that shot. Come on, go home. So also, he who had two talents made two talents more productive. But he who had received the one talent, why did I only get one, Jesus? Why did they get five? You only gave me one? Tell you what I'm going to do. Tell you right now, Jesus, I'm going to dig a hole in the ground, and I'm going to take your gift, and I'm going to put it down there. And after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled the accounts with them. Here's the one part of the structure you've got to understand, that God is going to inspect what you have done with that gift or that talent. He's going to expect it. He expects all of you to be fruitful, all of us to be fruitful. He expects us to be productive. He expects you to grow. He expects you to increase. But guess what? If you don't satisfy him, here's what you got to look forward to. And he had, verse 20, and he had received the five talents, came forward, bringing five more talents. Once his master had come and said, Master, you delivered to me five talents, and I have made five more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, I will set you over much. And he entered into the joy of the master. Now, I want you to understand that God is a rewarder to all those who seek him. God is a rewarder to those that really utilize his gifts and his talents for his benefit. Those who are productive in life, God blesses you. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love the other people. It just simply means that he gives you something and he'll keep referring you back to what's already in you. Moses, I know you're stuck, but what is in your hand? God has already put treasure in earthen vessels. You already have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What are you doing with what God has already invested on the inside of you so that you can take advantage of it? He wants to say to you, good and faithful servant, enter the joy of the Lord, not just in this life, but in the next life. You don't even know how good it will be when you're faithful over the little bit here and he makes you a ruler over much up there. You don't even comprehend what that is. That was better. Verse 22, and he also who had the two talents came forward and said, Master, you delivered to me too. And here I've made two talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter the joy of the Lord. Verse 24, he also who had received the one talent came forward and said to the master, master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So don't be mad at me. But I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Are you hiding God's talent in the ground? And if you're hiding God's talent in the ground, it's called sin. If he put a gift in you, you're not using. You got a prophecy 2 years ago, you was going to prophesy because that's the one you wanted the most, and you ain't said two words from Jesus. God called me a prophet. How 10 years ago? Well, how much do you prophesy? Well, I'm going to get started. No, you buried that. And you're missing many opportunities. Do you know when the first man sinned, he did the same thing that this man did? He accused God. It was the woman you gave me that messed my life up. I was fine, God, and you gave me the woman, and she gave me something to eat that you didn't want to see. So I don't want to put you on Front Street, but it's really your fault, and it's her fault. And then me, I had some problems, but y'all problems was bigger than my problems. I had an excuse, to why I was sinful. I have an excuse for why I buried my gift. I have an excuse to why I'm not being focused. I have an excuse to why I'm in the 86% that don't know who they are and where they're going. I have an excuse why I change over jobs and I don't know what's coming next and I'm always ending up in fear and I'm always accusing God. It's sin. And if you want to get out of sin, maybe you're going to have to identify your gift and then get out. Verse, but the master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the banker, and at my coming I should have received what my own with interest. See, the Bible says that God's word does not go out and return void, but it accomplishes that where he sends it, and it prospers wheresoever it goes. What point am I trying to make to you, church? That in each of you, God has given you a special talent, a gratuity, a gift. This gift is to benefit other people before it's to benefit you. You were given this gift not because you were a good person. When you were a sinner, God gave you this gift. He gives you a gift without repentance. Then he asks you to be a faithful steward over the gift and the ability that he's given you. The ability to what? To get well. The ability to what? Be productive, to prosper, to be fruitful. And when you are, that means you're submitted to God's structure and that and plan. And what is part of God's plan is that he's going to investigate what you have done or not done with the gift. And once he investigates it, he's going to say to the guy who's being productive, I like what you're doing. I like what you gained, and I want to bless you. And the guy that's not productive, the Bible says he takes away the very gift you have, gives it to the one who has the most, and allows you to be cast out. You see, what am I trying to get you to understand? That this percentile that says I don't function within the world, it's got to be over. See, traditionalists are people who are functioning in this current society better than anybody else. But the millennials are not functioning well. 22% of them are satisfied, so that means 78% of them are not with their life and their focus. 84% of the millennials believe that they were here to change the world. They want to change the environment. But 72% of them would rather work for themselves than anybody in the church, out of the church. They just rather not work. They'd rather be their own boss and make less. If they do, 79% of them say, if I do have to work for somebody, I want them to treat me like more of a mentor or a coach. They want a team environment. They want the world to be something that it is not. We all have those requests, maybe like the millennials, to see the world and the work environment be something different. And the way you make it something different is by acknowledging that God already gave you a gift. What are you going to do with it? Stand to your feet. Ministry team, come down. You might be saying, Pastor James, I believe in the whole message that you just gave, but I don't even know how to fix the things in my life. I agree with you that I should know better. I agree with you. I should be a steward. I believe you. I should satisfy God, but I don't even know what to do. You need a word from God telling you who you are. See, a lot of times we claim a relationship with him, but we can't hear from him, which is kind of weird. You got to be able to hear from God. And if you can't hear from God, that's why we have you coming to prayer at 6 a.m. Say 6 a.m. 6 a.m. 7 days a week. Noon. Prayer. Available to you who don't know what to do with your life. Who don't know your gift. God is trying to bless you. Bow your head, close your eyes. Is this all the ministers we have too? Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for these here in the congregation that this virus that causes us to forget what's in our spiritual DNA about who we are will stop robbing us of life and opportunity. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that there become a flood from heaven into each person's heart and soul, amplifying who they are and what they're gifted to do. And God, I pray that they would not spend any time wandering, searching, and hoping that life would get better. But God, I pray in this moment, miraculously, that you can change the trajectory of their life. And instead of getting a dismal wandering in the wilderness, that they're going to enter into their promised land, not for exclusively their benefit, but for the benefit of the kingdom. I pray, God, that you will release this next doctors and lawyers. You release the next sanitation workers, God, that you will release the school teachers, God, and the governing officials, the police officers, God, the military. God, you release those people who have gifts to pass. Release all of these gifts, God, and people will stop looking at what others can do, and they will start looking to you for what they can do. God, give us to be content with the life that you've assigned us to. Bless everybody as we leave this place, Lord, but bless us especially to lead to know you. I pray, God, that nobody would leave this place who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that it would come down to the altar and allow us to pray for them, that nobody that's not connected or need to be filled with the Spirit would just run out. God, bless us as we leave this place, but not your presence. Keep us in the center of your will and the apple of your eye. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise.